Hi, Chrissy. I'm hoping you can hear me.
Oh, I can. I was muted.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new and shiny 2022 episode of Somewhere in Between, the podcast for AITs and first five GPs, brought to you by the Royal College of General Practitioners. My name's Mira, and as usual, I am joined by my excellent co-hosts, Johannes and Hatim, and we'll be hearing from them a little bit later on in the show. I think we've got an excellent first episode for you today, so we're going to dive straight in and hear from a conversation I had with Chrissy Wellington earlier on in the year. So sit back, listen and enjoy, and we'll be back with you shortly. Hello, everybody. I am really delighted to be welcoming Chrissy Wellington to the podcast today. Chrissy was the inspiring speaker at the RCGP Community Summit earlier this year. So I've already had the privilege of speaking to her with our former RCGP president, Amanda Howe. And we had such an interesting and fascinating conversation. So I'm actually really pleased that Chrissy's agreed to come onto our podcast today so that more of you can hear about her fascinating journey and story. Now, for the very few of you that may not know who Chrissy is, I'm not going to rabbit on, but what I will say, it's not often that I get to speak to a professional athlete, triathlete and world champion twice. So thank you so much, Chrissy, for coming onto the podcast and welcome.
Pleasure is all mine. Thanks for inviting me on.
So Chrissy, I think it would be really nice to kick things off just by giving the listeners a little bit of a flavour of who you are in terms of your professional athlete career. Did you always know that was something you wanted to do? How did that journey happen?
Oh, Mira, my life is analogous to a tree, and it's branched and grown in so many amazing ways, some of which I may have expected, many I could never have anticipated, growing up as a child in Norfolk. So, yes, I grew up in Norfolk. I was academically inclined, and peppered that with a passion for philanthropy. So, you know, that child of the 80s, it was the Ethiopian famine that kind of gripped the public consciousness, including the 8-year-old me. So I had this passion for philanthropy and really wanted to excel academically. And sport was something I did for fun. I went to university. I graduated from university. I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, signed for a law firm in London. They agreed that I could take a gap year and went traveling around the world. And it was really there. I'll rattle through the story, but it was being in Africa that I, for the very first time, saw abject poverty and deprivation, but really the beauty of the world and people and landscapes and the resilience and the power of community and all those things. And it made me question the wisdom of going into law, really, and kind of reignited that childhood philanthropic passion. And instead of going into law, I did an MA in development economics and international development. And then I got a job working for the government as a policy advisor on international development policy. But it was really when I was doing my MA that I started running, purely as an escape from the academic pressures that I was putting on myself. So I never aspired to be good at running. It was a release for me. And I was inspired by a friend to enter the London Marathon. I did the London Marathon in 2002, and that was the first time I cut my teeth in endurance sports. And through that, discovered a talent that I never knew that I had. And that opened up the door to trying triathlons. I was inspired by a friend to try a triathlon. Then I went to live and work in Nepal. And it was really there that the foundation for my physical and psychological strength was built. And I came back from Nepal, took triathlon a little bit more seriously, won the world championships at the amateur level, and age 30 had a decision to make about whether or not to become a professional athlete.
I mean, that in itself is just such an incredible story. And I think the one thing that's really struck home to me is something that started off as a hobby, but you were so, so good at it. And I think that that is one thing that has always struck with me when I've heard about your journey, Chrissy, is because you have an interest in so many different things. And actually, you're, when you started off, as you said, you never planned on doing one specific thing. And in the course of your journey, you've realized the values of what's really mattered to you and try to keep that through your career. And I think that might resonate a lot with some of the trainees or the GPs that are listening to this podcast, because sometimes these things can be really tough. You know, I think everybody's journeys can be really, really quite difficult. And there's lots of challenges specifically within healthcare, but in all other remits. I guess what I wanted to ask you is, what have been the biggest challenges you have faced in that sort of journey that you told us about? And how did you make sure that you could still keep doing what mattered to you?
I have always tried to be anchored to my life purpose. So I haven't always had clarity around my goal, but I've had clarity around my purpose. And it comes from something my dad said to me when he dropped me off at university. And the very first day he said, "Chrissy, seize every opportunity and make a mark on the world for all the right reasons." And I was 18 years old, Mira. I didn't think much of what he said.
Wise words.
I was just going to make a mark on the university by joining every society and finding the cheapest cocktail party I possibly could imagine. But
you and me both, Chrissy.
Going through that process of introspection and reflection when I was in Africa, I think I found that his words, you know, kind of came back to me. And so that became my life purpose. And so I anchor my life around that, but I haven't always had clarity around, you know, my goal. For example, I didn't always aspire to be a civil servant and to develop international development policy. And I certainly never had the goal to become a professional athlete or indeed to win the world championships. And I see life as a kind of iterative process. And what's really important to me is that I have this curiosity and this desire for exploration. And in terms of what has been my biggest challenge, I think for all of us, it's often change and stepping off the path. So my life has, I've been characterized by me kind of segueing from one activity to another and transitioning or stepping off the path, as I call it. And that is really hard, but really necessary. So I think sometimes it's easy to stay in our comfort zone and do what we've always known. And the hardest thing is to step off the path where that future is not certain and where there's not that clarity. But in retrospect, that's where I've experienced this incredible growth and the opening up of opportunities that I may never have known that I'd had. So I think the challenge for me is to face a fear of failure and make a change or step into the unknown. And although challenging, like I said, I think it's where I've experienced the most growth.
And I think that is so interesting, because I'm listening to you with my lens of being a GP trainee. And I think for a lot of people who are in my position or situation, we continually focus on that destination of where we're going to get, because we're going through a training program, we're trying to achieve the competencies, you're doing all of these things. But as you say, that goal, sometimes the goalposts change for people for lots of different life circumstances. Other opportunities open up, and it's about being that, having that open-minded spirit, I guess, as you say, is, are these experiences going to be able for me to have more clarity of my purpose? And can I actually enhance the things that will allow me to make my specific mark? Because I think you're right, with the so much uncertainty and change that is going on in the world, sometimes the anchor that you need is yourself, just to know, am I having the self-doubt because of extenuating circumstances, or is actually the situation that's going on for me not quite right? And I suppose the other thing that you said is knowing when to when to change, when to step off and when to do something else and to do something different. And there are lots of stories of people within healthcare who have found alternate purpose, be it through an allied means of teaching or management or leadership or something completely entirely different.
A few things on that. I think it's analogous there, any journey with sport really, because sport's a metaphor for life. And if I look at an Ironman distance race, so for those that don't know, I did professional Ironman distance triathlon, which is a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike and a marathon. So it takes a long time. And if you're continually focused on this outcome, you forget to enjoy the process and the journey. And then that's what's incredibly important. And so throughout my career, really tried to focus very much on that process and on that each stepping stone of that journey rather than the final outcome. And then to your point about the evolution of goals, that's absolutely right. When I first became a professional triathlete, I never aspired to be world champion. And it wasn't a defeatist mindset. I just simply didn't know what I was capable of. So I just tried to be the very, very best version of myself every single race. And I found myself having qualified for the world championships. I won the world championships. And then I had a clarity of goal because my goal then became to defend that title and potentially break world records or become faster, whatever that might be. But it's an iterative process. And sometimes we're not certain about what we're capable of until we try and we push those limits and we test those boundaries and we achieve more than we ever, you know, ever think possible.
Definitely. And it pins on this sort of what's that person or that individual's potential, but also how can somebody's potential be enhanced by working with a team around them? Because actually, you know, as they say, with any sort of event, often it's not just that one person that creates that success. I mean, do you think that working in a team or having a support team for you whilst you were an athlete, was that, how did you find that helpful or actually was that challenging at times?
I think not just as an athlete, but in life. And if we must have learned many, many things over the past couple of years, but the power of community and relationships and connection with oneself and with others and with our environment is so, so important. So that power of connection and collaboration has been important throughout my life, but especially as an athlete. And it was incredibly hard for me initially. I'm a fiercely independent person and I didn't want to cede responsibility to anyone else. I didn't want to place the power in anyone else's hands, you know, over my career and my destiny. But I realized that my skills and my strengths could only take me so far, but that there were gaps in my knowledge, in my experience, in my skill set that needed to be filled by others, and that it was a collective effort, you know, enabling me to be the best athlete I could be was a collective effort, and it required the expertise and the skill of my coaches, my family and friends who supported me, my teammates, you know, training with them, being supported by them, elevated me as an athlete. My agent who, you know, enabled me to make a career out of the sport. The list goes on, and it was a collective effort. And although people see triathlon as a very individual sport in that, you know, we're racing as individuals, we never get to the start line and certainly not the finish line alone.
And again, when you described to me the first time what a triathlon was, I was an Ironman, I was shocked, and I'm shocked again. I'm just feeling exhausted you telling me, Chrissy. And you're right. I think there is, for those that may not be that, you know, well-versed with sports and what may be going on, you might see an event happening on the TV and you go, God, that person's working so hard and they've just got grit and mental determination just to get to the end. And absolutely, that is a key tenet, I'm sure, to success. But you've just described so beautifully about it's multiple working parts as well of drawing on the wealth of experience of others who also have their own personal journeys, I'm sure. And you're, it's an intersection of both of those things. And I think specifically for trainees, but people who are in their early career of GP, that's also entirely what working in primary care is about, because there are so many different people at different stages of their careers with different expertise. But sometimes I think we often feel like we're working in silos because of the pressure and because of the demand. But just taking that step back to think there is a much wider support network out there, and there's a lot of support. We just need to know where to go and when to ask the right questions and say, I'm struggling.
Mira, that is absolutely right. And I look back to the start of my career and I was so scared to lean on others. Because as an athlete, you need a game face. And for me, leaning on others, reaching out to others, expressing feelings of tiredness or worry or fear or self-doubt was tantamount to weakness and made me feel intuitively vulnerable. And I realized that those were precisely the reasons and the times that I needed to reach out to people. And it was only through working with others and being honest with other people about my concerns and my worries and my fears that I was able to actually address them. And we live in a culture where I think it's still really hard to be vulnerable. Really hard to be vulnerable to say when we're tired, when we're worried, when we're concerned, when we don't know something. But that's a sign of true strength to be able to express that and to seek that support and to seek that help. And that's certainly something that sport taught me and a gift that it gave me.
Definitely. And I think it's, poignantly put that all those emotions that you mentioned and all those, it's fundamentally what makes us human. And I think when we're ever wanting to excel in what we do, especially if it's involving people and other people or dealing with people or, philanthropic measures or whatever it is, fundamentally, it's people interacting with other, people. It's that humanity in us. And I think sometimes being bogged down by targets and focus and having that the sole agenda of where you're going to go, you lose that person behind it. And I think that happens in every job and everywhere, but it's so interesting because I don't think I would have ever thought about it from a world professional athlete that actually being at the core of it is your values and who you are. I suppose it'd be really interesting to talk a little bit, Chrissy, about going back when you said of knowing when to step off and when to maybe go into a different direction, because I guess lots of people feel in flux. Currently at the moment, I'm just in my 30s. I'm embarking onto a career in GP, but I'm also really aware of lots of my colleagues are leaving the profession. Lots of my colleagues are sort of thinking of being part-time or moving to something a little bit different. Others are going full steam ahead. And it almost feels like we're at a bit of a crossroads of what we can do because the opportunities are a bit endless. How did you feel, or when did you know it was going to be your last race and that actually you were going to look for something different? How did you feel about it at the time?
I trust very much in my intuition and in my gut instinct to guide me. And I think when I've made poor choices in my life, it's when I haven't listened to that, when I've made decisions counter to what intuitively I've felt is right. I went into professional sport wanting to realize my potential, which is quite a nebulous concept, isn't it? But I didn't know what I was looking for until I found it. And in 2011, 10 years ago now, I had the race that I'd always sought, but I don't think I'd actually realized it. That was what I was seeking, if it makes sense. I'd had a crash in the 2 weeks leading up, a bad bike crash. I came into that race kind of physically compromised, psychologically affected, and I had to use all of the strategies in my toolbox to kind of get me to the start line and through that race. And I crossed the finish line, absolutely annihilated. And I'd won. And that race completed me, Mira, because I'd achieved more than I ever thought possible. I'd raced when I was compromised and when I was vulnerable. I'd overcome a fear of failure. And I knew at that point that no matter how many more world championships I may or may not win, how much faster I might have gone, it would never come close to the joy and elation and satisfaction and relief that I experienced at the end of that race. And it completed me and it liberated me. And I knew then that I was worthy of being called world champion. And I knew then it was time to transition away from the sport. And how did I know that? My cat
is celebrating with you, Chrissy.
Yes, she's very proud. I knew then it was, sorry, I've now lost my train of thought because my cat, Charlie.
Oh, very beautiful though.
Right, so where was I? I knew then that I was worthy of being called a champion. And how did I know that the time was right? I think it's that nebulous concept of intuition that just tells you that change is needed. And you don't necessarily know what the new destination is. I didn't have that clarity. All I knew was what I didn't need to do anymore, but I didn't know what came next. And the easiest thing at that point would have been to have stayed in my comfort zone. And it sounds strange to say that Ironman racing was a comfort zone because it's incredibly masochistic. But for me, you know, I had security of purpose, of a goal. I had a team around me. I had financial security. I had public acclaim, you know, all of those things. I had that self-validation, that sense of identity. And so the hardest thing for me was to call all of that into question and transition away from the sport. But that's precisely why I needed to do it. And I needed to challenge myself in a different way by finding out who I was and what my goal might be. Was it not professional sport? So I retired unbeaten. I retired having had the race that I'd always dreamed of. And then came the challenging part of finding out what came next.
And I think with what you've just said, it's that thing of actually success isn't somebody else's benchmark. It's your own. And it has to come from internal and where you set it for yourself. And actually 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you may not have thought that that's what you would have declared a success or whatever it is, because you don't know what's going to happen. But when you have that sense of satisfaction, that sounds so wholesome and fulfilling that you can go, actually stepping into the unknown won't be the worst thing, because I have all these opportunities ahead of me and I've done this before and I put faith in myself and my team before to do that. And I think it's interesting because to me, I've always perhaps had this feeling that I've got a perpetual hat of being a medic, and therefore that fulfills specific criteria and specific roles. But actually I have many other hats as well. And how can you appease all those different facets of your personality and thinking when you are at a crossroads, actually, do you have to stick to one thing? Can it complement you doing two things in parallel? Maybe probably not three things. That seems like a lot. But I guess you were saying that then brought you to the next step of your journey. So it'd be really good to hear, because what did you decide to do?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking back to what you said about wearing hats and things, I think it's not a problem to wear a number of hats and have a number of labels, but it's attaching self-worth to those labels that can be really problematic. Because if my soul worth was solely wedded to me being world champion and to con- and continuing to win those world championship crowns to feel that sense of self-validation. Well, that's problematic, because as a professional athlete, you have to transition away from the sport. And as you implied previously, you know, in this career, in any career, you're going to have highs and lows and upside down, ups and downs, and times when it really does suck. And your self-worth, if it's wedded to always being on a high in a specific career, then that can be really, really challenging. So I think that self-worth needs to come from something a lot deeper, maybe than that singular label. And for me, that was an incredibly challenging period in trying to work out who I was. Who was I, and what was my contribution to this world if it wasn't to do that sport? Because that's how I'd achieved my kind of most public of successes. And would anyone even like me? Would anyone even care about me if I didn't win? And that was, really, really difficult kind of place to be and time for me to navigate, albeit one of my own making, of course. So it again was a period of where I needed to be quite still, to be comfortable in a void, to be comfortable with not knowing, to speak to people, to listen to my gut, to network, to learn, to read, to explore. And through that process, I kind of came out the other side and was fortunate to combine my two passions. So this kind of philanthropic developmental passion and one for physical activity and sport. So I work as global head of health and wellbeing for Parkrun and feel so honored to work for an organization that has health and wellbeing at its heart, and specifically targeting those that would benefit most from what we do.
I mean, absolutely. I think what you said there, I wish I could disagree and come up with some great Jeremy Paxman-like questions to bat back at you, Chrissy, but we're definitely singing from the same, page, sentence, words. And I guess lots of people will have heard about the Parkrun initiative. You know, it's incredibly popular. It's in so many different places now and across many different countries as well. But for people that may not be that well-versed with it, could you tell us a little bit about Parkrun and sort of your role in the sort of initiative as well?
Absolutely. So it was founded in 2004, a single event in Bushey Park in London that was attended by 13 people and supported by volunteers. It's now a global charity that oversees the delivery of free weekly 5K events that are open to all. And in some countries, there are also junior park runs, which are 2K events for 4 to 14-year-olds. So what started as a single event, founded by Paul Sinton Hewitt in 2004, is now 2,200 events in 24 countries around the world. So on average, here in the UK, we have about 150,000 people taking part in those events, supported by around 15,000 volunteers. So all events are led by the community and delivered by the community. Globally, around 250,000. It was closer to 330,000 pre-COVID, but some events have not yet reopened and others are, yet to reach the numbers that they did pre-COVID. And my role is to develop the insight and the interventions to enable us to better engage those that are less active, those with lower health outcomes in our events. So involving them as volunteers, walkers, runners, people that come along and cheer and socialize, so that we can maximize our health and well-being impact.
And thank you for that. I think it's one of those things that Parkrun is an example of what a great community project can do in local areas specifically. So what started off as so small is now global, but it has such a local impact on its community where they are running every week. So there's one in Greenwich local to me that I know is incredibly well attended. I'll confess I haven't done one as yet, but it is on my bucket list, as we discussed last time, Chrissy. And I think the power of exercise that is intrinsically linked to health and good health outcomes cannot be ignored. And I think that there has been sort of a mentality, especially in patients with other comorbidities and things like that, that parkrun is just if you're extremely fit and it's just for runners, and it's, you know, where people practice before they do their Ironman or their triathlon. But that's absolutely not the case, is it?
No, that's a misconception. And parkrun really is open to absolutely anyone. Like I said, we encourage people to come along and volunteer. They can walk the event, they can run, they can come along and support. And the value in part lies in improved physical health and fitness, of course, but the true power of parkrun is in the creation of friendships, in community, in connection with yourself, connection with others, and connection with your environment. And like I said, that's something I think we all need right now. And so the power of parkrun goes far beyond those physical health gains and obviously reaches into social relationships, mental health, and other social determinants of health. And that's why it makes it such a great kind of social prescribing initiative, and why we've connected parkrun events with GP practices across the UK as part of the Parkrun Practice Initiative, because we really feel that it can help address some of the social determinants of ill health, and is a fantastic accessible opportunity for people of all ages and backgrounds and abilities to take part in.
And that's absolutely what I wanted to sort of speak about next, is obviously the Practice Parkrun initiative has been something that the RCGP and Parkrun have combined forces with. And exactly what you said in terms of, yes, the physical health aspect is there, but it's so much more than that. And it's about how people in a community can see what is their community made of and who is, you know, getting local people together. As you say, the pandemic has meant that people are more isolated than ever before. But the things that really made a difference, or was that chink of light through what seemed like eternities of darkness, was moments of kindness where people got together and the community supported one another. And Parkrun's exactly an example of that. Cheering on people you've never seen before who are, you know, walking their first 5K is such a heartwarming thing to hear about and see. I've had a lot of close friends of mine actually who've been adversely affected by their mental health through the pandemic and prior to that. And one of the biggest things that helped both of them was engaging with Parkrun and getting involved, because it meant that they had a regular activity to look forward to every week, and they were seeing people every week. And actually, if someone didn't turn up, they had a little WhatsApp group and they'd be like, why weren't you there today? And, you know, that would have never happened without that initiative. I guess I would like to ask, for some trainees listening, they may not know if their practice is part of the Parkrun initiative or would be interested in wanting to get that sort of link set up where they are. How would they best be going about doing that?
Yeah, so just to summarize the initiative, like you said, it's a collaboration between the Royal College and Parkrun. It was launched in June 2018, and obviously we've had the pandemic since then, which has limited its growth somewhat, but nonetheless 1,500 practices across the UK have now signed up, and the numbers are continuing to grow. If you go on the physical activity hub of the RCGP website, there's loads of resources, including that link to the active practice charter as well. You'll find the Parkrun Practice website. There'll be a map on there. You can click on all the icons and see if your practice is has signed up. If not, it's a very easy process to sign up. And really, it's a kind of non-adjudicated, very light touch initiative, which basically encourages GP practices to signpost to Parkrun. So signposting patients, but just as importantly, for staff to take part themselves. And there's a toolkit available with lots of suggested activities, but at the very least, putting posters up, displaying something on your practice website or on your TV screen, getting staff to come along. And we have many instances where whole staff teams have done what we call a volunteer takeover. So they take over all the roles at an event, wear the same t-shirts. And it's a great promotion for the practice and the services you provide, but it's a fantastic way of connecting the community together in a really, really empowering way. So yes, I encourage people to go on the website, to check out the map. If they don't see their practice there, to register to sign up. There's a contact email in case you have any other questions. And feel free to be creative and come up with ideas of your own for making it work. Practices are innovative. But we also know that time is limited. So the activities have been specifically designed to be, you know, non-burdensome from that perspective, and should really help to support both staff and patient health and well-being in the round.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, to trainees who are listening out there, speak to your VTS groups, because you will actually find some practices are running some really successful initiatives already, and you can adopt, you know, learning techniques from them. What went well? How was it set up? And some trainees have even made these their quality improvement projects at their own surgery, getting the staff involved. What you said about that camaraderie, just generally getting, you know, admin, clinical, non-clinical staff together to do something for themselves, but also for their community and the patient population that they serve. And if anything, given the current situation we still remain to be in, given the pandemic, that sort of togetherness is needed more than ever, I think.
Absolutely. I think we've all missed that connectivity. And the beauty of Parkrun is that it is accessible. It's in, you know, we've got 1,000 or more events across the UK. So there's bound to be a park run, you know, near to your practice that you can signpost to. And it's like I said, it's a great way of connecting primary care with service, you know, with opportunities within the community that are free, that are outside, and that are communal.
I mean, I think just with that, it ticks all the boxes that we want something like this initiative to be and for us to all be involved with. I mean, I'll say it on the podcast now, I am going to be doing a park run in 2022. It's out there. So now I have to stick to those guns, Chrissy. Any tips?
You know that I can track your participation via the park run.
Oh gosh, gotta start. I gotta get involved straight away.
Nowhere to hide.
So I guess that would probably be one of my New Year's resolutions going into 2022. I'd be really interested to hear from you, Chrissy. Obviously, we've heard, you know, this amazing story of everything that you have gone through, but well, a shortened version of everything and the highlights of career and challenges and everything else. But going into 2022, what are the sorts of things you're looking forward to, you know, generally getting involved with or advice that you would have for other people in terms of challenges that lie ahead?
For me, challenges take many different forms, personally and professionally. So I think most importantly, spending time, really quality time with my family is absolutely paramount. It's been really important throughout my life, but incredibly important over the last few years. So absolutely making that kind of front and center of 2022. Professionally, in terms of my work with Parkrun, developing our new health and wellbeing strategy is something that I'm working hard on, and I look forward to finalizing and then taking action on over 2022 and then subsequent years. And part of that is our collaboration with external parties like the RCGP. So I think, you know, working together with other organizations will be a really important part of our work going forward, and I really look forward to doing that and implementing our strategy. And then again, personally, as people might expect, I've always got a sporting goal or two. And I actually struggled, Mira, with motivation through lockdown. I was still active, but definitely not to the extent that I was prior. And I think that fire has now been rekindled and I've started to set goals. But so for me, it's really useful to have a few events in the calendar of varying distances to help, help me focus and give me something to look forward to and to aim for. So last weekend I did an ultra marathon along Offa's Dyke, and in February I've got another event, and then I'll look to enter one in the spring as well. So a few ultra marathons to help inspire me to get out of the door in the winter time.
Well, and I think, Chrissy, that's, the beauty of this is the range of conversation is, for you, the ultra marathon is what's going to get you back into the swing of things. And you've done one already. And for me, getting active again has actually been something I've been definitely doing more of in the last sort of 2 or 3 months, because actually it makes me feel so much better being out and about and getting that heart rate up and doing that with my partner. It's been, really useful. And my goal, as everyone has heard, is to do a park run. And I'm really, really glad that we can have these goals and we're in a position where these things are able to happen. Obviously, there's lots of countries in the world where lots of people wouldn't be able to do these things. So I'm very grateful that we can sort of get to this position. I really want to thank you, Chrissy, for having this excellent chat with me. I could sit here for another few hours and ask you so much more, but you're a very busy lady. But it's been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast today.
Thank you. And we really, really look forward to welcoming you at Parkrun. It's incredibly hard to set those new and ambitious goals, but take it a step at a time. When I first started running, I never aspired to be a professional athlete, and you never know where a path might take you. And I think the most important thing we can all do is just take that step forward each day. And I'm sure we will see you at Parkrun in 2022.
That's a promise. Thanks, Chrissy.
No, but thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you for the incredible work that you and the whole of, your primary care colleagues are doing. It's been such a challenging couple of years, and we can only hope for a really brighter, much brighter future.
So guys, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How do we all feel now? 2022, full of purpose and poise. Johannes, what about you?
Always for the purpose and poise. Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm doing that thing that we're all doing, where we're kind of nervously optimistic that it's not going to be another 2020. But yeah, feeling good, setting some goals, feeling generally positive. How about you, Hassan?
Well, it's like when you watch, if either of you watch Death to 2021 on Netflix, and then you realize that actually that was just basically the exact copy of what happened the year before. So I'm hoping that, yes, it will be a little bit different this year, though current COVID cases don't fill me with complete optimism. At the same time, it's going to be quite a big year for me personally, I guess, which is quite exciting. Also, I always find this weird, this kind of movement from December to January very interesting, because in December, everyone's like winding down, it's Christmas, it's so exciting. And yes, I mean, in general practice, that doesn't completely apply because the clinical work is still there, but it's there to an extent. And then you get into January and suddenly, now we need to be doing all of this and it all needs to be happening now. And then it's just that kind of change in perspective that happens over just like a week or so is crazy.
I'm gonna let you guys feel that, because obviously someone's insistingly wanting to get into my building. I think it's my husband. I'm really sorry. You guys continue. What are your New Year's resolutions, if any?
I mean, my only plan for this year is finishing my master's and then never doing another degree, because I keep collecting them and then realizing how much extra work they create that I really don't want to be doing. What about you, Hatton?
I think that's a solid shout, but it's just frustrating, isn't it? And then you just end up really tired and exhausted. Extra studying would be nice, not to try and avoid, at least, you know, mandated studying. And that's one of the advantages of hopefully CCTing and then not having to do the mandatory stuff, although there is appraisals, of course. I guess my goal for the year is really to be a good parent. That's a good one. I like that one. That should be my priority for the year. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm back. And I heard the end of that, which is that Hatton wants to be a good parent, which I think you are going to be effortlessly, undoubtedly a really good parent, Hatton. But really looking forward to hearing all the stories and all the journey that there's going to be your 2022. Lots of changes coming your way. I guess for me, the New Year's resolution has already been said on the podcast, is to do a park run. But as I told these guys before we started recording, I've actually registered onto the website, which I think is a good start. And my husband and I have genuine earnest plans to do a park run in the sort of coming months. And I've started doing a bit of couch to 5K. So there's progress on that front. But I kind of want to get your guys' thoughts on the episode in general, because obviously I'm biased. I think Chrissy is a fantastic guest to have on the podcast. I have heard her speak before at the community summit, like I said, and we could have spoken for so much longer than we did. But what about you guys? What did you think of the episode, Johannes?
I think for me, the thing that really stood out, which she mentioned quite early on in the podcast, was just about curiosity and having an open mind about basically everything that life throws at you, and also how many possibilities there are. I'm sure that, you know, for a lot of us, we won't stumble across the fact that we're a world champion, but there are so many doors that we can open and there are so many paths that we can take. And so I just thought it's a really important message that as busy as we might be and as kind of predefined as much of our training path might be, there are so many opportunities that we can take if you just kind of have an open mind, keep your ears pricked up, and just give yourself the opportunity to do new things and to experiment with your career and experiment with your life outside your career, and even to step off and, you know, and look in a new direction. I think so much of what we do in medical training is so kind of such a narrow focus because it's such a well-defined training program that we sometimes forget to kind of look left and right and see what's around us. And there's so much incredible stuff that we can do.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think what's been really interesting is whilst doing this podcast, obviously Johannes and I started this when we were in ST1. And as you said, it was a very focused sort of pathway. And as we're coming further towards nearing the end of our training and Hatton, obviously a few weeks to go, it's a strange moment of transition as well. So kind of having to embrace the unknown a little bit, knowing that we have hopefully been as well equipped with skills and knowledge that we can be, but also adding a bit of our own personality, but also what our goals are, but matching that with our own set of values and purpose as well, I guess. How about you, Hatton? What did you think of, the chat with Chrissy?
So there's something that Chrissy said that really struck a chord. And that was that, don't always focus on be so focused on the outcome or the end goal and enjoy the process or enjoy what happens along the way. And I guess coming to the end of my training, that really resonates with me because it's been a long journey and a lot has happened along the way. And many people spend a lot of time stressing about passing the exams and getting there. And of course, you can't avoid that completely because that's going to be there, you know. But at the same time, I really feel that I was able to take time to enjoy what was happening along the way and pick up new skills. And I'm still doing that to this day. Like yesterday, I just went to a PCN meeting and just sat around and really started to learn kind of what kind of decisions are they making? What are they thinking about? They're talking about sort of triage and working as a PCN more collaboratively and you know, being able to do that as a GP trainee, even if it meant a few hours of my time, was quite nice because I just feel like I'm absorbing and learning and I'm not there to provide solutions or be a decision maker. I'm just there to be someone, a fly on the wall, which I think is really nice. So whatever your interest might be when you're a trainee, just find time to develop those interests. And it doesn't have to be medicine, to be honest. It can be outside of medicine. It can be anything. But just make sure you give yourself that time and space to enjoy what you're doing along the way. And then the other thing that really obviously comes across is just endurance. And, you know, and sometimes you can get a little bit exhausted just listening to her, to how much she's done, and sort of being her being able to run a marathon in the first place is exhausting for me to listen to. But but obviously that endurance to really, you know, put yourself through that and go through that and get to the end. I mean, that's really important in training, and you do need that, especially at this point in time when things are just so uncertain and lots of people's lives, but also lots of people's sort of training pathways have kind of been thrown out from where they naturally were. So there was lots of sort of cross current themes that isn't relevant to I guess a discussion around park run and physical activity, but just more general lessons from her in her life and her life journey, which I found fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more, Hatton, because I think initially when I heard that Chrissy was going to be the speaker at the community summit, I read a little bit about her bio and thought, seen all the amazing things she's done. And I thought, God, but that's none of that applies to me. And I'm not sure, you know, there are some avid Ironman trainees out there and GPs that do all of these things. But to me, it, you know, sounds so wild. And I thought, oh, I'm not really sure what we're going to talk about or where that common ground will be. And then actually it comes back to the basic fundamentals of it's a human experience and it's all about human interaction. And actually we have lots of things in common with people in so many different spheres and walks of lives, just that is reflected in you know, our training population and in the first five population as well. We are a makeup of those that we see around us, and having that intersectional sort of space where Chrissy talks about, you know, needing the people around her and utilizing teams around her, but also being you know, giving herself the space to embrace the successes, how she developed some resilience, but then realizing actually sometimes you need to quit, or, well, in her words, you know, when is my final race? Have I achieved what it is that I wanted to do? And have I enjoyed the process getting along that way? And then when's the time to step off and think about something else that always aligns it back to that sort of core purpose that she talked about? And actually that's what really spoke to me, I think, because more than anything else, I guess, trainees at the moment, as you very articulately said already, Hatim, I think it's been some of the most challenging times to be a doctor full stop, but specifically being in a training program where lots of things are unknown, uncertain, personal circumstances could be very difficult for lots of people who are listening. But always trying to remember back to the core reason as to why we're doing what we are doing and how to realign our priorities so that they fit in line with what we're doing at that moment in time. And that will shift and change, I'm sure. I think sort of looking forwards, I think Chrissy had some really good thoughts about how we can align that sense of purpose, I guess, because I think sometimes, as you say, we're trainees, there's the tick boxes, there's things that we have to do to get through this program. But as Johannes also said earlier, find the things that fuel your passion. Are there other things outside of it? So, you know, if it's about education, if it's about management, if it's about attending PCN meetings, that's fine. But equally, if it's outside of medicine entirely, that you've got a purpose or a passion, it's, you know, giving yourself the space, the chance, and allowing yourself to say, actually, this is okay, because fundamentally, this is for my own personal development. And sometimes being given that space just to think and go, okay, this gives me some ease.
Yeah, the other thing that stood out to me was talking about in that final race that kind of gave her the most satisfaction. A lot of that satisfaction came from kind of looking inside herself and really competing against herself and not trying to compare her performance to the people around her. And I think that's something that we can find really valuable, because I think for a lot of us, particularly in a competitive degree, as when we were studying medicine and then going through and constantly applying for competitive posts, we're always looking at the people around us because they're people that we have to beat to get forward in our careers. And at this stage where, you know, you're in GP training, you're moving towards CCT, and then as a GP, you can compete. You can compete against the people around you if you want to, if that's what drives you, that's completely fair enough. But I think we get the most out of ourselves when we look inward, like was being discussed, and we be our best selves, and, you know, we just do the best that we can, and we do what makes us happy without focusing on what other people around us are doing. And I think that's really a really key lesson, because we can feel this pressure to perform from people around us, and we don't need to.
Obviously, listeners can't see that, but Hatem and I are sort of very vigorously nodding our heads in agreement with everything Johannes is saying. Hatem, did you have sort of any other final thoughts about the sort of conversation that we've been having at all?
I'm just really excited to see how your journey goes when you run Park Run.
I mean, yeah, so am I. Bit nervous, not going to lie. But yes, I think one of the things that I came away from that conversation saying I definitely want to do it. And there is definitely this aspect of, we recorded the conversation with Chrissy just before Christmas, and obviously this episode is now coming out in 2022. And I definitely have that resolve to want to do it. And it's about setting yourself goals, I suspect, where the end product might seem completely insurmountable, but the process of it and the journey of it is something that's exciting me, because it's a new challenge. It's absolutely not within my comfort zones at all. But I have very good sort of colleagues who have done parkrun before. Also, I can definitely get some tips from Johannes, who's one of the fittest people I know in terms of all the exercise that he does. Although I won't be cycling to sort of France anytime soon, Johannes. But yes, absolutely. I will be keeping you guys and the listeners updated with my parkrun and Couch to 5K progress, she says now. I've set myself up a big task, but I think that that's reasonable. But to all the listeners out there, we hope that you have managed to have somewhat of a restful festive period, and that you have been able to recharge your batteries and looking forward to the next 12 months, whatever they may bring your way. We are hoping some big things for this podcast. We've got some really great guests lined up. We've also got some new voices that you'll be hearing soon. So we hope that you'll stay tuned and keep listening to Somewhere in Between. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. I'm wondering if we can do a live episode as Mira goes round the track.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Can you imagine? No one would listen. Everyone, oh my God, it would just be absolutely awful.